You know, St. John, who wrote this gospel, loved irony and paradox. This passage is dripping with irony, kind of a scornful irony. It says that the disciples see this blind man and they say, who sinned that he was blind from birth? It must be the result of someone's sin. And the Lord said, listen, don't even go there. He says, I want you to know that in this blind man, the works of God will become visible. Hello? Do you hear the irony in that? So not everybody who says they can see, really see. Just because you're able to see doesn't mean you see. And at the end of the gospel, once again, it's all just dripping with irony. Jesus said, he says here simply at the very end, he says, I have come into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see. Now you've got to be willing to admit that you don't see before he can heal you, amen? But who goes to the doctor? One who thinks they're well, or one who knows they need a little help down here? So again, the Lord says, I came for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Those who don't think, I don't need the doctor, I see everything just fine, thank you. The Pharisees who were with him heard this, and they said, surely we are not also blind, are we? And the Lord said, if you were blind, there'd be no sin in that. But because you keep saying, we see, your sin remains. Dripping with irony, isn't it? Huh? Those who claim that they can see are really blind. And those who say, I can't see, help me, Lord, are the ones who really see. Someone say amen. So I hope that you're willing to put a little time in with me today as we look at this man who knew he was blind. And the Lord made it possible for him to see. But I want you to see that in this gospel, there's a process involved in coming to see. That this man goes through stages. It's not simply that he was blind and the Lord made him able to see and that's the end of the story. You notice that was at the beginning of the story, wasn't it? And this story was a mighty long gospel today. Someone say amen. He gets healed like in the first 5 lines of the gospel, and then the next 50 lines go on about not only is he able to see, but now he comes to actually see. Now what do I mean by that, church? It's one thing to be able to see. It's another thing to actually see. For example, I have eyes that are able to see the Statue of Liberty, but they don't see it right now. I have to go on the train and get up there to New York and go out there on the island and look up and see it. Amen? So to be able to see is not all that we need. We need to be able to see, but we actually have to begin to see. And so this man, this blind man, goes through not just an event, but a process. Now the first thing I want you to notice is the problem that is presented. The problem that's presented. It simply says here, there is this man who was blind, and church, there were different kinds of blindness in the ancient world. There was the acquired blindness. Hello? I just took my glasses off, and I want you to know, I cannot see any of your faces. I mean, you're all a blur. I see people, but I can't see faces anymore. So you see, there's an acquired blindness that comes upon us frequently with age. And you know, in the ancient world, they didn't have all these kind of glasses and things that we can wear today. Contacts, laser surgery. So there was an acquired blindness. And there was also a big problem in the ancient world with blindness that came as a result of disease, eye disease. You know, we today just take Visine and we take some medicated drops and we're done with the eye infections that we get. But in the ancient world, again, they just had to suffer through, and sometimes they lost their eyesight through detached retinas, through all their other issues and things that came upon them, cataracts. Today we just go and they pop out the old lens and put in the new lens. Isn't that something? But you see, so there was acquired blindness, but that's not the kind of blindness this man had. This man was blind from birth. He had never seen anyone or anything. Blind from birth. Now, church, this is us. This is us. We were born into original sin, incapable of seeing God, incapable of understanding the holiness of God. Original sin blinded us. We were born into this world spiritually blinded. And you see, today in the world, there's a lot of blindness. A lot of blindness. You know how blind we are? Let me try to describe to you how blind we can be. Right now, in this church, God is more present to you and to me than any of us are to each other, and even that we are to ourselves. God is more present to any of us than anyone or anything in this church, and yet we see everything and everyone but God. See how blind we are? It's very difficult for us to see God, isn't it? I'm not talking about physical sight now. I'm talking about that moral vision, that spiritual vision. Do you know that it is possible for you and me to go hours, days, without ever thinking of God? I'm not saying that's true of everyone in this church, but our minds are very weak, aren't they? We see everyone, we see everything, but we don't see God. And it's so easy to get weighed down. This is wrong, that's wrong, I didn't get this, I wanted that. We're all bent over looking at our shoelaces. And we don't even stand up and look at the glory of God. So blind. Our minds and our hearts, far from God. Far away. Pope said recently that many people today in the world, especially in the modern age, live as though God did not exist. Just completely thoughtless about God. Don't ever think of Him. All they think about is what they're going through now. Whether they're going to make a promotion, or whether they're going to get the raise, or whether the Redskins are going to win, or whether or not we're going to have the baseball stadium open on time, and whether you're going to get a ticket to the Pope's Mass, and all of these things we're thinking about, hardly ever thinking about God. Now, I'm not going to say that's true of everyone equally in this church. I'm just talking about the modern experience. Are you praying with me? Blind. Incapable of seeing God in everyone we meet. God permeates all of His creation. The Bible says that all creation is held together in Jesus Christ. We're not just walking around in a machine, church. God is everywhere. In every leaf that falls, every breeze that blows, every beautiful sunrise and sunset. Yes, even in the storms of life, God is present. And how we struggle to see Him. Do you understand the blindness that we have? Our minds are weak. Our hearts are very lazy, and it's difficult for us to see and experience God. So again, notice again, there's a blindness that's upon this man, and a blindness that's upon us. And even after our baptism, we struggle to see God. You know, maybe the thing to keep in mind is every now and then When I put the lights on in the morning, it takes a little while to adjust to the lights. So that even after we've been rendered able to see on account of our baptism, it's still so hard for us to get used to seeing the glory of God. And so that leads us to the next stage. Not just the problem that's presented, but the purification that is prescribed. The Lord says to this man, he says he spat on the ground and he made clay with the saliva and put this paste over the man's eyes. And then he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, a name which means scent. And he went and he washed and he was able to see. Now, church, that's baptism. Are you praying with me? What does the man say? I went, I washed, I see. He came back able to see. Now notice, it doesn't say that he saw. It simply says he's able to see. Now, I don't have any doubt that his physical sight was restored. But spiritually, this man still has a ways to go. But first of all, I want you to notice, how does the Lord deal with this man's blindness? Purification from sin. Go wash. If you and I are struggling with blindness, we can't understand what Scripture's saying, we hardly ever see God, we're all preoccupied with the things of the world, we can't see God's glory, even in the crosses of our life we struggle to see God working His plan out, we struggle to see, oh how we struggle. What's the solution? We've got to repent of our sin. Our sin is what blinds us. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. The only way out of this blindness is to allow God to show us our sin so that we can repent of it and be free of it. If you and I want to come into greater understanding, have greater vision, have a greater sense of God, have a greater sense of peace and serenity in this crazy, tumultuous world, the only solution is repentance for our sins. Now this man is told to go and do something that symbolizes baptism. Most of us in this church are baptized. Today, Vanya and Kenya are preparing for baptism. There may be others here who are not yet baptized. I beg you, come to God for baptism. Like Vanya and Kenya. Without it, we can't see. We might be able to make certain intellectual progress. But seeing isn't just about the intellect. Are you praying with me? It's about knowing the Lord, and only the Lord can do this. And His first instruction, if you want to see anything at all, if you want to even be able to see, get baptized. I don't just mean go through a ritual. I said study, approach the Lord with humility, come to Him, and allow Him to begin the process of washing away original sin, and beginning a process of healing. It begins with baptism. Scripture commands and teaches about baptism. If you have any family members that you know, if anyone in this church is not baptized, if you have any family members that you know, take seriously the need to come to baptism. Vanya and Kenya, I'm just awfully glad that you've heard this call and that you're with us today. And I'm just glad. I know it hasn't been an easy path, but it's an important thing. The text here says, sent, Siloam. You, all of us, are sent to the baptismal font. Now, brothers and sisters, just a few texts about baptism, just to show how essential baptism is, that it is prescribed. In John 3, in verse 5, the Lord Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Holy Spirit, they cannot see the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? They cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless, that's a strong word, isn't it? Unless one is born again by water and the Spirit, they cannot see. It's not just they cannot go to, but they can't even see the kingdom of God. We can only get so far with our intellect. It takes a medicine for our heart. It's not just the eyes of our brain that need help. It's the eyes of our heart. Amen? Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus says, He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Or Matthew 28 and verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, baptism is prescribed. But what about us who have been baptized? I want to say to you that we have to keep renewing our baptism, don't we? Every time I sin, I'm rejecting some aspect of my baptism. And so I need to go back to the Lord through the sacrament of confession and through the daily confession of my sins and frequent celebration of the sacrament of confession to say, I've got to renew my baptism because my sins blind me. And so we've got to continue to be able. So baptism is prescribed and it's powerful. This man comes back able to see. The text says, again, be careful to listen to this word now. He went, he washed, and he came back able to see. Brothers and sisters, baptism is not the end. It is the beginning. To be able to see does not mean you actually see. I gave you my little example of the Statue of Liberty. But you and I know, come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? There was a time in your life where you could not see or understand something, and all you know is you were faithful to God, and through all kinds of prayer and discernment, finally you said, aha, now I see. Now I understand. It sometimes takes years. Years. You know, every 3 years I preach these same gospel texts. And every year I see something new. I wasn't able to see it, or I was able to see it, but I didn't see it. Now, after three more years of prayer and sacraments and being faithful to God as I'm able, daily reading of Scripture, now I see. I was able to see before, but I didn't see it, and now I see it. Anyone have a point in your life where you finally came to understand? And it isn't just about biblical text. I want to just tell you a very quick personal story. My mother, as many of you know, struggled mightily, mightily with alcohol. Oh, how she struggled. She had to fight every day to stay sober. And some days she lost her battle. And she'd go on these benders. And when I was a little younger, I was so angry with her. How could she do that? She did it again. Anger. I couldn't see her dignity. I couldn't see her struggle. I was just angry. But I'm glad, church, that someone said, don't be an idiot. Go to Al-Anon. Start going to Al-Anon meetings and getting a hold of your own anger, because your mother's probably not going to change, and you're roaring with anger, my friend. You gotta get help. She's got the problem. No, you also have it. So I started going to Al-Anon meetings, and I'm glad to say that before my mother died, about 3 or 4 years before she died, I finally began to see the dignity of her struggle. I didn't see it before then. I just was angry. But I finally began to be able, not just to be able to see, but I finally began to actually see that my mother was fighting hard every day to stay sober. She wasn't a failure. She was a fighter. And she sometimes lost her battle. But she was trying. And I could finally go to my mother and say, would you please forgive me for all the anger I've vented on you all these years? Because I finally see your struggle for what it is. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
It is not impossible sometimes for us to see things at certain points in our life. We have the ability to see, but there's other things that are blinding us. And little by little, the Lord moves us through our life so that what we couldn't see at one point, we now can see. And so, brothers and sisters, baptism makes us able to see. It's powerful. It's prescribed. But it is preliminary. That is to say, we were baptized and we were born to new life. We become able to see, but it takes a lot of growth and maturity to really see the things that the Lord wants us to see. Are you following this? Baptism is like getting born. When I was born, I was about 9 pounds. I'm a lot more than that now. I was only, I don't know how many inches, I'm now about 6 feet tall and shrinking. I was 6 feet tall at one point. I don't know what I measure up to now. But again, brothers and sisters, growth is not enough just to get born. Baptism brings us to new life. We're born, but we have to grow to maturity. Amen? And that's why I want you to see the story doesn't end here. The story only begins. This blind man went and he washed, and now he is able to see. But we're going to see some details here that he's, although he's able to see, he still doesn't see everything he needs to see. And that's why you've got to stay with the Lord all your life long. Baptism is not a magic act. It's essential, it is prescribed, and without it, nothing else is possible. But once it takes place, it's not the end, it's the beginning. So now notice, not only the problem that was presented, blindness, the prescription or the purification that is prescribed, but next notice the perception that is partial. He sees, but only a little. His neighbor said, "You're the one? Wait a minute, you've been blind from birth. How can you see?" "Well, I don't know. There's this guy named Jesus, and I don't know exactly where he is, or I don't know where he is." It says here in the text, the man named Jesus. Did you hear that? The man named Jesus told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went. I washed. I came back able to see. But where is he? "Well, I don't know. Hello? Anyone there? Anyone know anyone who's there?" There's an awful lot of Christians who, although they've been baptized and maybe received other sacraments, they're pretty vague about the whole thing. Are you praying with me? Many people are at the man called Jesus stage. Who helped you? How did this happen? "I don't know. The man named Jesus." "Well, where is he? Tell me more about him." "Oh, I don't know. Don't know much about him. My mother dragged me to church when I was a kid, and I got baptized, and I received First Communion, and I got confirmed, and can you tell me anything more? Do you know about Jesus? Tell me about Jesus." "I don't know." Hello? There's a saying among pastors and theologians in the church that many people are sacramentalized, but unevangelized. That is to say, Jesus has touched them, has fed them, has strengthened them, and they might know about him, but they don't know him. They've never really met him. You see, the danger is that we receive a sacrament and then just walk away from it and don't let it begin to have its fruit. Amen? If you have a young child and you're preparing to bring them to baptism, make sure you intend to raise them in the faith. Because there is judgment upon us if we don't. Because it is a terrible thing to bring a child to life and then not care for that child. What would we say about a husband and a wife or a mother and a father who brought a child to birth and then placed it on a park bench and walked away? Hello? What would we say about a couple like that? And yet, isn't that what an awful lot of Catholic parents sometimes do? They show up and they say, "Monsignor Pope, Father Pope, I want to have my child baptized." In fact, they don't even know my name usually. "Yeah, I'm a member." I said, "Well, now listen, do you know my name?" "I don't know your name. I want to have my child baptized." They bring the child to spiritual birth and then commit the equivalent of leaving that child on a park bench and walking away spiritually. It's a terrible thing and a terrible judgment. We've got to raise our children they are able to see. They have a dignity. They can now see. The Lord has touched them in baptism, but we've got to raise them in the faith. St. Augustine says, if someone is baptized but never grows or lives their faith, that baptism profits them not at all. Baptism is the beginning. It is not the end. New life is given. And without that new life, nothing else is possible. But that life, like any life, has to be nourished. Now, the text therefore says, this man can see. He's able to see. But he's still getting used to the light. What happened to you? Well, the man named Jesus, whoever he is, he told me, he put some paste on my eyes and told me to go wash, and I went and I washed and I came back able to see. Well, where is he? Tell me more about him. I don't know. Where is he? I don't know. Now, all of us have been there, you know. There was a time, church, when I didn't know him. I knew about him. My mother always told me about the Lord Jesus. But there came a point in my life where I finally had to meet him personally. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You studied your catechism, you went to church, you took the sacraments, and the Lord was doing something all through those. But please understand, the sacraments are essential. But they have to bear fruit. And at some point in my own life, the Lord finally broke through and said, I'm here. I think all of us have that story, amen? And you know what? Even though I can tell you I've met the Lord personally, and I can tell you a lot about Him, and I can tell you from experience that I know Him, I know, church, that I've got a long way to go. My eyes are still getting used to the light. So, not only do we see, therefore, this problem that's presented, this purification that is prescribed, and the perception that's still only partial, but next we see the progress that's portrayed. Notice that this man begins to make some, he gets insights. He begins to grow in his faith. And how does he grow? By being persecuted. The scribes and the Pharisees from the temple call him to testify. They put him on the stand and they say, you're born in sin from your birth. You're probably lying. You really weren't blind. He says, all I know is I've been blind from my birth and now I'm able to see. When they can't try to force him to admit he's lying, they try to persecute. This man healed you on the Sabbath. Don't you know that's wrong? He can't be from God. Who is he? And the man says, he's a prophet. Well, that's better than just some man named Jesus, right? We're not to Messiah and Lord yet, but do you see the progress? They persecute him. They make him answer questions. They corner him. How many of you have ever grown stronger in your faith because someone started to ask you some serious questions? And you had to start praying. You had to start studying. You had to call up and say, Monsignor Pope, what is the answer to this question? But you got to work. You rolled up your sleeves. And you came away stronger in your faith. And sometimes just the bumps and grinds of life. Is my faith real? We just struggle with our faith. And we learn and we grow and we get insights. So brothers and sisters, this man is persecuted. And he makes his first growth. He goes from simply saying, the man Jesus, to now saying, he is a prophet. He is someone who speaks for God. At that, they begin to ridicule him, and they throw him out. They call in the guy's parents. You know, some people won't just stab you in the back, they'll stab you in the front. And if that doesn't work, they go after your family and the people and the things you love. And they continue to persecute this man, and threaten not just him, but threaten his parents, his family. And they call the man back. Now, back down from this guy, Jesus. And the man says to them, this is amazing, he says. You don't even know where he's from, and yet he healed my blindness. How could anyone do a miracle like that if he wasn't from God? Aha! More progress. Not only is he the man named Jesus, where is he? I don't know. Now he's the prophet. Now he's from God. He's from heaven. And they go on and he says, if this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. And so he continues to grow in his faith. He says, this man does not have sin. He's a man from God. And I'm beginning to trust him. You all are persecuting me. And it's getting clearer in my mind now. I'm beginning to see that this was no ordinary man. All this persecution. So notice again, we've had a problem that's presented. We've had a purification that's prescribed. We've had a prescription, a perception that was partial. And now we have some progress that is portrayed. And the final thing I want you to see is the perfection that is portrayed. The perfection. When they threw him out the second time, Jesus comes up to him. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe? And the man says, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Now listen, church. He's looking right at him and he still doesn't see him. There's still some progress needed. Jesus now says to him, you have seen him. The one speaking to you is he. Now, it says the man fell to his knees. He worshiped him and said, I do believe. Hallelujah, church. Do you see the progress? First he just says, the man named Jesus. Some guy named Jesus. Then, he's a prophet. Then, he was from God. Finally, he now sees that he is God and Lord. And he didn't just say, wow, you're the guy. Hey, you're a pretty good guy. He says, he fell to his knees and worshiped him. You're not just a man. You're not just a prophet. You're not even just from God. You are God. You're the Lord. And now I see. Now I worship you. Now you see. And I see. But it's not enough. This man had to go through a process, isn't it? But didn't he? It was a long process. I know this has been a long sermon, but please give me a break. It was a long gospel. If I'm long, it's because John was long. But do you see the process? Sacraments are essential. Baptism is prescribed. The first thing Jesus says, get baptized. Deal with your sins. Praise the Lord. But now, baptism and the sacraments make us able to see. They heal our blindness. We're able to see. But it's one thing to be able to see, and it's another thing to actually see. And we all have a journey to make there, church. Amen? We all have a journey. Two quotes and I'm done. One from the scriptures from today. A beautiful passage from the letter to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Brothers and sisters, you were once in darkness. That's before our baptism. We can only make so much progress with our mind. At some point we have to just say, my mind isn't enough. It's about my heart. I need to be healed. We were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then live as children of the light. And light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. But rather expose them. And it's shameful to even mention the things done by them in secret. Walk in the light. Beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus. I said Jesus. The light of the world. And one day, church, we'll see him fully. We're on that journey. I'm mindful of an old song that we sometimes sing at funerals. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance, The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise, and the sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. For now, we're on a journey. Please promise me, church, you'll stay on the journey. Because it's one thing to be able to see. If you've been baptized, you're able to see. But it's another thing to actually see. And we've got to get ready, church, to see the Lord Jesus Christ one day, face to face. Amen.